Hebrews 1 and 1, God at sundry times in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom, and this is what you want to underline, he hath appointed heir of all things, heir of all things. When he was raised from the dead and sat down at the right hand of God. In fact, he mentions, as verse 3, who being in the brightness of his glory, in verse 3, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, he sat down on the majesty of the right hand of God. And it was in that position when he sat down that he set his king on the holy hill of Zion, that he appointed him heir of all things. Now, in his resurrected state, when he visited the disciples after his resurrection, he came to them with a great commission in Matthew 28, 18, and he made a statement. He said, all power, say all, in heaven and in earth has been given unto me. And then he says, now go into all the nations. Now it was given to him in the right hand of God where he was appointed heir of all things. All right? Now, Revelation 5 also speaks of this inheritance. Verse 12, it said, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Now listen to these seven inheritances that were given to him in the right hand. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. He already said all power in heaven. Riches. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. He received them in glory in the right hand of God. Wisdom. Jesus has made unto you wisdom. Strength. Honor. Glory. And blessing. God has granted you all spiritual blessings in heavenly places where you are sat down with him. All spiritual blessings been granted to you as an heir of salvation in heavenly places. Now what we're going to learn to do is how to get it out of the heavenly places into the earthly places, because that's where we need it. Amen. And that's what we're going into now. It's how to get what's up there here. So he received all of this, and God appointed him the heir of all things. He also received the nations. In Psalms 2, he said, I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. This day thou art my beloved son. This day thou art my son. This day I have begotten thee. Ask of me the nations for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. I want you to actually look at this real quick. Go to Psalms 2. There's a lot of things he received and he was appointed heir of. The nations being one of them. That's very important. Okay. Psalms 2, verse 6. I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord had said unto me, thou art my son. This day I have begotten thee. Now, for your notes and study, you want to write right next to that verse, Acts 13:33. In Acts 13:33, Paul brings out the fact, I believe it was Paul, that that very scripture, he rehearses that, and that very scripture was pertaining to his resurrection. This was speaking of his resurrection. Thou art my son, this day have begotten thee. So when he declared the decree, he set his king upon the holy hill of Zion. This was spiritual Zion. Set him into the right hand of God. And then once he set him in there, speaking of the resurrection, I will declare the decree. Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Ask of me now, son. It was a son asking of the father, I will give you now the nations for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. So he inherits the nations in the right hand of God. Right there, he inherits the nations. He also, in Ephesians 4, said he ascended on high, ascended into the right hand of God. He led captivity captive. He gave gifts unto men, and those gifts were the full government of God. Apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, till we all come to unity of faith. He received the government from the Father and was able to grant gifts. Gifts like pastoral ministry. Gifts like apostolic ministry. He grants those gifts from the right hand of God. He commissions from the right hand of God because he received that as his inheritance. Now, all of this we're speaking of, I give you power in heaven and earth, the seven inheritances of Revelation 5, him being appointed heir of all things, asking me the nations for that inheritance, and a whole lot more. I'm just giving you four or five of them. That's what he was appointed heir of. He received all of this. Now listen, he had all of this, probably with the exception of the nations because he had to purchase them. But all the rest of those, he had all that before he ever left. He had power. He had wisdom. He was the Word. He did all that for your and I benefit. He died, received that inheritance, and was appointed heir of all things in the right hand of God so he could share that inheritance that's actually termed inheritance with you and I as joint heirs with him. So he receives this inheritance, and the Bible calls this inheritance fullness. Fullness. I want to introduce to you now Colossians 1 verse 18. You can go over there. When it speaks of his fullness, it speaks of him receiving all of this on the behalf of his church so he could share this with his church. And he terms this entire inheritance fullness. Fullness is spoken of a lot. Spoken of John, spoken of in Ephesians. I'm going to look at it in Colossians. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He was the firstborn of many brethren. And Hebrews says he's not ashamed to call you a brother, especially in the right hand of God, because he's sharing the inheritance of the firstborn with you. Everything he's sharing this, he purchased on your behalf. Booyah. Everyone say amen. Hallelujah. Glory. That in all things he might have the preeminence. He was given preeminence. He had it all. Look at this. And so he describes that inheritance with one word. It's very important you understand this word. Huge. Verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, the Son, should all fullness dwell. Say, all fullness. The full inheritance of Christ received in the right hand of God. All of its dwelling with him. God gave it all to him. He appointed him heir of all things. And he calls that full inheritance fullness. That's important. Why is that important? I'm glad you asked. Go to Colossians 2:9. I'll have to tell you why for the rest of the message. Colossians 2:9. He unlocked how to get the fullness here. Colossians 2:9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Do you hear that? Bodily. You know why he said bodily? Because you are the body that's inheriting the fullness of the Godhead. The head has it all right now. He's sitting in the right hand, and he's had it for a long time. And he, contrary to doctrinal beliefs, can't wait to release it. But there's a condition on how all that releases. What do we need? Let's start with the first inheritance, power. The church was never, ever designed to give testimony in of itself without power from on high. We haven't known how to really unlock that raw power from heaven. Riches, strength, wisdom, honor, glory, blessings. See, all of it's there in an inheritance. We believe that. We understand that. But how do we get it from there to here? He said he blesses you in Ephesians 1:3 with all spiritual blessings. See, all spiritual blessings is that inheritance. See, he gives you freely of that inheritance. He blesses you with it in heavenly places. You receive it. But how do I get it here? I know I've got an inheritance there, but I got to get it here. We got to get it here. He has to get it here. Okay, go to Ephesians 1, verse 17. He's praying a prayer. I've been looking at this prayer for 24 years. I finally understand this prayer that he's praying. How'd you like to be looking at a prayer for 24 years and like listen to someone pray a prayer? Oh, 24 years later, that's what you were praying. Oh, grasshopper. Oh. Verse 17, and the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, he fathered the glory. He gave it to the Son. He may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the Son, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is. Stop. I want you to underline or write this down or make a mental note of it. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. The hope of Jesus's calling. What is his calling? Well, there's a lot involved in his calling. One of them is to seek and save the lost. But that's really just the beginning phases of his calling. Okay? The hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What is an inheritance? We just discussed all of that inheritance. The hope of his calling was to seek and save the lost, receive an inheritance, because once he seeks and saves the lost, you're not lost anymore. You're no longer a sinner saved by grace. You are a bona fide son of the living God, and he has received an inheritance on your behalf. And the hope of his calling is to get that inheritance that he purchased for you, received for you, into you, working in manifestation here on the earth. Oh, that was a mouthful. That's his inheritance in the saints. It's not enough that he's sitting up there at the right hand of God. He can't get it to his kids. Which of you parents have an inheritance for your kids and would sit on it for 2,000 years if you could live that long? That'd be a lot of carrot juice drinking. Be living for 2,000 years. But if you received an inheritance, if I received an inheritance on the behalf of Carson and Victoria, which I am going to receive an inheritance, because a good man will leave up an inheritance to his children. Do you know your children are going to be blessed? Both of you? Your kids? A good man will leave inheritance to the grandkids. We're lucky in this day and age under mammon system to leave inheritance for ourselves. Mammon's trying to just stomp out anything. We're overcoming mammon. Woo! Why? Because he received riches on our behalf. He's heir of the world and its system and its riches. And he can transfer. If you know how to get him to do it, which we're learning. All right? So, he has this inheritance, but it was not enough that he received it for himself. He wants to get that inheritance to his saints. He wants to release that inheritance downward. There's so little of what we're actually walking in, of what he paid for us and purchased. But that's all about to change. Now notice, he continues on in his prayer, verse 19. And what's exceeding greatness of his power to us believe, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Remember, sat him at his own right hand. Far above principalities, powers, might, and dominion. Verse 22, put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things. Now look at, well, go to 22 first. He hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head of all things to the church, right? And which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You know what that means? I'm glad you asked. He receives the fullness in the right hand. And he's praying that the hope of his calling is for that inheritance to be revealed into his saints, which is his body on the earth. The fullness of him will be revealed. All of that fullness will be revealed in all of his church. In other words, that fullness will be downloaded from the right hand of God. That inheritance will be downloaded into the body. The fullness, all of it, working in all of his body together. That means the church will inherit power, glory, honor, riches, wisdom, blessings. He's not coming back for a broken church. He wants the hope of his calling is for everything he inherited in the right hand of God to get downloaded into his body here. Woo-hoo-hoo! That means he's in intercession at the right hand of God right now. Father, when? I've asked of you for the nations. I want to harvest the nations. I have purchased and received an inheritance on the behalf of my body. They're not walking in it. The hope of his calling is to get it all downloaded here. Wow. My goodness. Now, John 1, verse 16. And of his fullness, we all have received. Wow. Sure like to see some of it. If we've received his fullness, where is it? You have received it. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, he's blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You've actually received it. I need more than receive it. I need manifestation of the reception. I need to know how to open the present he gave me. All right, now we're going to introduce the role of the Holy Spirit, which I have never seen this in the word of the Lord, and I've never heard this preached. But now we're going to look at his role, and we're going to begin with Acts chapter 2. So, now that we have you into the fullness, Jesus received the inheritance. The fullness was imparted to him, given to him as an inheritance. He became heir of all things, and he's praying. Paul even prayed for the hope of his calling to get that fullness into the earth. What did he say? He ascended on high, gave gifts to men, that we all could come into the unity of the faith, that we all could grow up into the fullness of the stature of Christ. The whole hope of the gospel is to get what he inherited on our behalf working in the earth, not just to preach a powerless gospel and to live in church all our life in defeat. We have to get into manifestation. It's got to come alive. God just doesn't want us to fill the church with nice, good people that have it all together and say, this is the victorious church. No, he wants to take the lame, the maimed, the poor, and the blind and fix them all up right in front of everybody. Make them whole right in front of everybody. Turn them into his champions. See, he's inherited power for every situation. That power included, it is the signs, miracles, wonders, demonstration, and miraculous. Raw power. Not the little shimmy shoe that we do. The church is real good at shimmy shoeing. Give them the shimmy shoe and we all fall down. Then we get back up. We're operating as much as we can, but I didn't know how to get it unlocked. Now I do. Now you will know. Are you ready? Acts chapter 2, verse 31. He's seeing this before. Now, Peter's preaching his first message on the right hand of God. He's mentioned it twice through two different psalms. Now watch this, verse 31. He's seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. You're going to find out they all spoke of his resurrection. And that's important. That his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. That was quoting out of the Psalms. David saw that, but he knew it wasn't speaking of himself. Verse 32, for this hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. God is going to have to make you a witness. We'll get into that. Verse 33, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, speaking of Christ, and having received the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had shed forth this here that you now see and hear. What's he talking about? The day of Pentecost fell. Peter gets up. He said, these are not drunk as you suppose. And he preaches his whole message. Speaks of the right hand of God. And ending this message, he said, look, he ascended to the right hand of God, exalted. He received the promise of the Holy Spirit in the right hand of God. And he, the Son, has shed forth this you now see and hear. The Son shed that forth, or the Holy Ghost shed it forth. More importantly, this verse is amazing. Look at verse 33 again. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received, you know what? The Holy Ghost could pour out any time because we got it right. I'm telling you, the suddenly of heaven could fall at any spontaneous moment. I know that now. You'll know why by the end of this sermon. He being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is how I got my attention. Why did he, in the right hand of God, receive the promise of the Holy Ghost? The promise of the Holy Ghost was for you. Right? The Holy Ghost was going to fall upon you. Why did he need to receive him in the right hand of God? Why did the Holy Spirit first visit the right hand of God before he visited you? Go to John 14. Let's look. Now, you must understand, before the Holy Spirit fell out upon the church, he visited by divine direction from the Father. He visited the right hand of God first. And Jesus received him into the right hand of God, the Holy Spirit. And from that position, the Lord released him out of the right hand of God. That is the difference between revival and no revival. Right there. Booyah. Okay? Now let's look at John more focused now. John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, speaking of the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, whom, look at this, the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring all things your remembrance. Notice the Father sends him in the name of the Son. Go to John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I, look, Jesus said, will send him unto you. Before he said, the Father's going to send him in my name. But now he's saying, I will send him. Because the Father did send him. Because he said, I'll pray the Father and he'll send you another. But then now he's telling him, I will send him to you. Who's sending him? Said the Father was going to send him. I like this. Gary Carpenter always said, I love this because he kind of broke this in the beginning. He said, it's expedient for you that I go away. Well, you know, if my son or daughter was vexed with a serious infirmity, illness, disease, and I didn't have the faith to get over the line. For instance, we had a daughter and she was a stillborn, but we knew that before and we prayed and prayed, but our faith couldn't get over the line. But I know that if he was here ruling and reigning in the earth, if he was ruling and reigning here, if I could have gotten her to him, she would be sitting on the front row today, right next to Victoria. Now we know she's in heaven. And I'm grateful for that. But how expedient is it that he would go away? He said, listen, it's expedient that I go away. He goes, if I go away, I'll send you another. I have that another living inside me, but I still can't do what he did. But he said we were supposed to do what he did. And what he was saying, he says, listen, I have to go away. I have to purchase the price for you, and I have to receive an inheritance on your behalf. And when I receive that inheritance, I'm going to send you someone that will represent that inheritance in the earth. Okay? That's the Holy Ghost. Now, he goes on to say this in verse 13. He goes, I will send him to you, but I'm going to pray the Father, and the Father's going to send him to me first. That's Acts 2. And then when he sends him to me, he's got to stop by the right hand of God. Do you understand? The Father couldn't just send the Holy Spirit down. He needed to stop through and by way of the right hand of God, because he was going to receive something on your behalf. Before he came to come and live inside you, he was going to bring something with him. This is why the Bible refers to him as a gift. This is why the early church knew him full well. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you were born again? Have you received him? Do you have any idea what he's bringing? John 16:13. Howbeit he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He'll not speak of himself. Listen to that. Underline that right there. He will not speak of himself. What service he shall hear, that he shall speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. So let me ask you a question. When you're anointed, you shall receive power. When the Holy Ghost has come upon you, whose power is he manifesting, his own or Christ? When they asked Peter, when they got him before the Sanhedrin, they said, by what name did you do this miracle when that man at the gate beautiful? And he said, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. That's huge. Huge. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, be it known to all of you, it's by that name that this man stands before you whole. But the Bible said you would receive power and the Holy Ghost would come upon you. He does not speak of himself, neither would he glorify himself. He was an agent of transference from the right hand of God here. That's why he had to stop there first and receive that inheritance. How do I know that? Look at the next verse. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he, the Holy Spirit, shall receive of mine. You want to underline that. Receive of mine, and he will show it to you. He received of the fullness of the inheritance of Christ when the Father sent him. He sent him into the right hand of God. And when he came in the right hand of God, Jesus said, this is my inheritance that I purchase on the behalf of my body. And it's the hope of my calling to get this fullness into the earth. So therefore, I'm entrusting my fullness now with you. He gives that inheritance to the Holy Spirit. That's why he is the greatest gift to the New Testament church, because he came bearing more than a prayer language. He came bearing the glory of the right hand of God. He received the inheritance on your behalf, and he sent to reveal it to you. Booyah! He will receive a mind and show it. That word show. So here's how the Amplified should read. You ready for this? He will honor and glorify me because he will take, receive, and draw upon what is mine. He receives the inheritance. That's why the Father sent him into the right hand first. And then the right hand, Jesus sends him out of the right hand. Even he sent the whole Pentecostal revival. He says he's the one that sent what you now see and hear today. He sends the Holy Spirit with his inheritance that manifested into the earth. So he receives, draws upon, takes what is mine. And listen to this. He will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. That means show. The word show means to declare, disclose, transmit it. He is the one that's going to transmit the glory of the right hand of God to you in the earth. He came bearing it. That's why he was a gift. That's why in Luke 11, right after the Lord's Prayer, if you fathers know how to give good gifts, how much more will the Father not give you the Holy Spirit? Because he's going to stop over by the right hand of God. He's going to receive the fullness, the nations, the power, the riches, the wisdom, the glory. And he's going to come bringing that, the gifts. He's going to receive the offices. He's bringing that down with him. And I'm just going to have him come with all that inheritance to live right inside of you. You receive more than just a person. He came bearing the boatload of the right hand of God. He had it all. And he was sent to reveal it, to declare it to you, to disclose it to you, and to transmit it to you. The glory of the right hand of God, this will blow your noggin, is abiding inside you. Woo! The fullness of the right hand of God, of his fullness, we have all received, because that inheritance now is in us. Because the Holy Ghost is in there. Have you received the Holy Ghost? He's carrying the glory of the right hand. He's come to bring it in the earth. Have you received him? Have you received him? He's got it all with him. He's going to reveal it. Amen. That's good preaching. Woo! I got to get that on tape. Say that again.
You go, Daddy.
Woo! Look at verse 15. All things the Father have are mine. And Amplified, I like what it says. Everything that the Father has is mine. This is what I meant when he said, he, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and declare, disclose it, and transmit it to you. I've received the Father's fullness. I've been appointed heir of all things. And I've given him the ministry of transmittance, to transfer the glory of a spiritual inheritance. You know what he's called to do? He's going to take that spiritual inheritance, all those spiritual blessings in the right hand of God, and he's going to declare, disclose, transmit, manifest, and materialize what Christ received as spiritual kingdom. The Holy Ghost is going to materialize that kingdom here on the earth. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come. Wait until you be endued with power, because I've got to go up into the right hand and God's going to give me that power. All power in heaven and earth and in the Holy Ghost. He's going to send him to me and I'm going to give it to him to disclose it, transfer it to you, manifest and materialize it here in the earth. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom here. Woo! How many of you had the Holy Ghost at least 25 years? Raise your hand. I've had him for 24, and I still can't get the right hand of God here. So that was my next question. Man, I got the revelation. You are inside me, and the fullness, I've received it because you got it. How do I get you to get that out? What did he say? Out of your belly in John 7 shall flow rivers. I never understood this before because I knew the rivers was the river of life coming out of the right hand of God. It says the river of Ezekiel that would break out of the right hand of the temple. You know that verse? The river of Ezekiel would break out of the right hand and it would flow into all the nations and everything that's dead would live. He said, out of your belly or out of the kingdom of God within you would flow. Because why? The Holy Ghost has brought that. When you were born again, he brought the whole inheritance to live inside you. Out of that position would flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Spirit that had not yet been given. But the Holy Spirit simply brought the kingdom with him. He is manifesting the inheritance of the Son into the earth, and it's going to come now. He's going to pour that out. I'm like, we've been born again and baptized. How many of you baptized in the Holy Ghost? Raise your hand. I'm like, I don't have that inheritance working here yet. I don't have the manifestation and the materialization of ask of me the nations that inheritance. We don't have the power flowing. You're living inside us. What's the problemo? I got it. Man, it only took a year to go up into the right hand of God, come back down, and the Holy Ghost is already here. And I'm like, man, we did this whole thing. And you've been in us the whole time. The inheritance of the kingdom's there. Why isn't it not flowing? I'm glad you asked. Because I asked the same question. So I'll let you in on the answer. The Holy Spirit cannot declare of his own. Neither can he manifest without you. He cannot manifest outside the authority of human agency because God granted dominion to man. Jesus restored the dominion, gave it to the Holy Spirit to give it back to man and have it manifest and materialize here in the earth. He has to have you. And God set up some very special way. And I'm telling you, any moment from this day forward, suddenly from heaven could arrive and the rivers of the kingdom will start flowing again. Go to John 15 now. Boy, religion hates this. They hated it in the book of Acts. They said, they're speaking of the resurrection of Christ. Stop these men. Do not speak of that name. John 15, verse 26. You're fixing to know what it means to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You all been baptized, but he's going to fill you. What do you think he's filling you with? If he says you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and we know he inherited that power of the right hand, what do you think he's filling you with? The word fill and fullness are the exact same root word. He's taking of the fullness. He brought it with him, and he's going to fill you with the fullness of the right hand. And when he fills you with the fullness, he will then anoint that fullness coming out of the right hand of God for manifestation, materialization in the earth. The kingdom will come. The kingdom's inside you because the Holy Spirit brought all of it with him. That's why he was the gift of the ages. Man, when he comes in here, everything's going to change. There's not going to be any more depression because he's going to fill the room. And every devil that might have been brought in here is going to be gone. The people are going to set free. Healings, miracles, signs, miracles, wonders, fullness. How do you know? Because I know. Y'all ready? John 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, because the Father sent him to me. He inherited the right hand. Now I'm sending him to you. Isn't that amazing how you can read that now? Even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father. Look at this. He shall testify of me. And you also shall bear witness. You see that? He is going to testify of the right hand of God because he's bringing it with him, the inheritance. But you also will bear the witness. Okay? So we need to get in our mentality, there is a co-laboring operation of the Holy Ghost. All right? It's very important. He is the Spirit of truth, and he's only going to manifest truth. But he's not going to manifest your knowledge of the truth. He's going to manifest your experience of the truth. And there's a difference. You can stand up here and preach the resurrection all day long, and he's not going to come and manifest it. He's going to manifest what you are witnessing firsthand. If you don't witness firsthand the right hand of God yourself, he will not bear witness, because he's only going to bear witness of what you witness firsthand. Do you understand that? You will in a minute. Okay? Go to Acts chapter 5, verse 32. We'll see the secret of the New Testament church here. Oh, Holy Spirit, I think you're going to make everything that's dead alive. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The people, the body of Christ in the earth, everything that's dead will be made alive. Acts 5, verse 32. And we are his witnesses. We are his witnesses. If you're a witness. Now, Tim's a correction officer. When you go to a scene of a crime, they'll actually call for a witness. They're looking for a witness that has seen firsthand what has happened. They don't want a witness that didn't see anything. They either want someone who has seen something or heard something. You see what I mean? You can't be a witness unless you have firsthand seen it or firsthand heard it. If you haven't firsthand seen it, well, somebody told me that ain't going to hold up in court. Somebody told me that there's an inheritance in the right hand, and I come to preach. Somebody told me, this preacher told me, there's an inheritance. You're not witnessing firsthand. You're a secondhand witness. Holy Ghost don't manifest secondhand witnesses. Holy Ghost manifests firsthand witnesses. Witnesses of what? We are his witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost. He's going to witness too. Except his witness is going to be a little different than yours. When his witness comes, you're going to witness with a testimony of your mouth. He is going to witness with the testimony of power, signs, miracles, and wonders. He's going to supply power to the eyewitness of your mouth. The church is going to have to eyewitness the right hand of God. They're going to have to be a firsthand eyewitness of the right hand of God. You cannot go and just speak knowledge. That's what's happened with the church. We've not eyewitnessed the firsthand. We're just speaking the knowledge of it. Until you eyewitness it, he will not eyewitness with you. When he starts witnessing with you, you want to see him bear his witness? Go to Hebrews 2 real quick. I love it. I love it. I want more of it. Hebrews 2. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Confirmed unto us that heard him. He spoke the salvation. The true salvation is the resurrection of the right hand of God. He received inheritance, and them that heard him spoke and was confirmed to us. We know whoever the writer of Hebrews was not an original apostle, because it was confirmed unto us by them that heard him directly. Watch this. Verse 4. God also bearing them witness. He will also testify. How does he testify? Both with signs, wonders, and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Wow. The Holy Spirit's bringing the witness of power to your eyewitness of the right hand of God. Now go back over to Acts. Acts 4, verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things we have seen and heard. What do you think Peter was talking about right there? He said they testified on that these men have been with Jesus. We cannot but witness, speak on the things we have seen with him and heard with him. We have seen him in his resurrected position. We have heard of him speak from his resurrected position. We are giving eyewitness account that this king of ours has been set on the holy hill of Zion. He is in a resurrected place in the right hand of God. And the Holy Spirit, he says, yes, he is. And I have come to give witness to that fact as well, bearing signs, miracles, wonders, and demonstrations. I will grant witness to your first-hand witness. I think we better get to climbing up into the right hand of God. Amen. Chapter 4, look at verse 1 and 2. I feel the good pleasure of God, and I feel the enemy's absolute disdain right now. Because he knows we're uncovering it, and religion's about to be blown out of this place. And it's going to be blown out of this city too. The light of this glorious gospel is going to shine again. Acts 4, as they spake unto the people, verse 1, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Now these were the spokespersons. These were the spirit of religion. Here's what religion doesn't want. Look at verse 2. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. What were they bearing witness of? Let me say this. What were they bearing firsthand witness of? The resurrection from the dead. It's not enough to go and preach Jesus to the nation, say, he's raised, he's raised, he's raised. If you're not an eyewitness to that resurrection, what did he say? If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things that are above, not upon the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in the Father. You've got to eyewitness that place before you can speak of it through and by the power of the mighty Holy Ghost. Because he will bring his witness too. And I'm telling you, it could be a matter of minutes, seconds, days, or hours, but I'm telling you, he is coming to witness what is being spoken. Acts 4, verse 33. Acts 4, there's a whole lot of enchilada in there. If you like enchilada, there's a lot of enchilada in Acts chapter 4. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus with great power. You know why? Because they were eyewitnesses, and the power of the Holy Ghost that he was entrusted with came upon them, and he bore the witness with them because they were eyewitnesses to the right hand. How do you and I, that they were with the Lord, how do you and I bear the eyewitness? We have been granted access. He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his innermost being, the kingdom of God within him, shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because he was not yet glorified. But now the Holy Spirit has been given, and the rivers of the kingdom of God will flow again. The Holy Spirit bearing the witness with the eyewitnesses of the right hand of God. Now I'm going to give you a couple of things here to show you that it is the Holy Spirit's assignment to shed forth the glory of the right hand of God in the earth. Holy Spirit, I thank you. I am an eyewitness. I have been there. I have seen it. I've experienced it. We have seen it. We have experienced. And I thank you, you will confirm it in this hour of human history. The signs, miracles, wonders following. You will grant the power of testimony. For you never designed this word to be preached without you confirming it as well. We ask for your confirmation to the truth and the eyewitness account of a resurrected king that was raised from the dead and is now sitting at the right hand of God, has received an inheritance on our behalf. You are the earnest of our inheritance, Holy Spirit, for you brought it with you. And you are in us, and you will bring it into the earth, both to reveal it, transmit it, manifest it, and materialize it with victory, signs, miracles, wonders, power, riches, demonstration, confirmation. We receive strength in our inner man by your Spirit. You bring the strength from the right hand of God to our inner man. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which has been given. You brought the love of the Father and the Son to shed abroad in our hearts. You are the agent that transmits that love. You are the agent that transmits that strength. We shall receive power. You are the agent that transmits that power. And we thank you. And we wait upon you.
Heavenly Father, with thanksgiving, we receive this word, our destiny, into our spirit. Thank you for the living Godhead within us that you have placed within us upon receiving Christ Jesus into our hearts. What a holy gift. What a holy, holy gift you have placed within us. Teach us to allow the living waters to flow out of us. Everywhere that we go, we have dominion, power, the resurrection of Christ Jesus living in us. What a mystery, God, what a mystery. Holy Father, the Trinity living in us. So we receive this word that you have set the course before us, the path of life, that with the choices we make every day, we choose life to stay on course for the prize that is set before us, Lord. I ask you to allow every person here to see that prize that's set before them, the crown of your glory, that we will lay one day at your feet. Help us to have the eyes to see with the Spirit. Help us to have the ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Let us honor and respect the living word. I just want everyone to drink in that breath of life that is here in our midst. Draw it in deep into your spirit. Enlarge the territory of your tent. I want every person, man, woman, and child, breathe in deeply the breath of God. Jesus.
Hallelujah, Father. He spoke to me actually about some timing to these things. And but I want to give you something. He showed Pastor Chuck Luke 24:49. He said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." That city of Jerusalem, we're not called to tarry in here, but we are called to tarry in Zion. We're called to tarry in the right hand of God as eyewitnesses until we be endued with power on high. He is coming. He is with us. And He will confirm this. This place will explode with power. And that is a fact. So, Father, we thank You. I know the first phases of demonstration and what they are, Father. I know all things must be done according to Your word. The Melchizedek government will come forth, and everything will change. Father, keep us. Keep us in Thy right hand. Let us be found in Christ, in the Son, in the right hand of God, for we are hidden away. Our life is hidden with You in the Son. And Holy Spirit, You are with us to bring this kingdom into the earth. It's Your mighty name. Let's all stand. Hallelujah, Father. Glory to God. Father, let this word be sealed in the heart. And we, with great expectancy, tarry in Zion until we be endued from power on high. Let this word bring forth its fruit, for it has now been released as it was when You first released it, Jesus, in the upper room. It is now released again, and it will bear its fruit. In Your mighty name, Jesus. Amen, amen.